No.
Oh.
No. It could be, I'll give you an example. There was a family, a son actually, that called about his parents. Really, first and foremost, to find out about Pam O.W., to get food for his parents because it was difficult for them to get out and whatnot. And that turned into a discussion, then led to an assessment and private care management being put in place.
So tell us, wait, Stacey, tell us about your home health agency.
Our home health agency? We don't actually have a home health agency. What I do is go out and get assistance based on what the assessment is and the care that's needed through private home care agencies.
Okay, so your JFCS does not run a home care agency?
Correct.
Okay.
I think that's a very different issue than where we have a home support program and we start off with clients providing home support and then they develop other problems that really belong to a case manager,
right,
and the home support coordinator starts to get involved in them because there's just not enough staff or case managers or availability to do the work that needs to be done as needed.
So right. What happens?
What's that?
I said, so what happens?
We just work harder.
We work harder and burn out and get extended and it's
crazy.
Not good.
We're in the same room. Hold on, Debbie and Marissa. Let's let Elaine finish, and then the next one will talk.
So as a manager, that's a very big concern of mine because you can go in all kinds of directions that are above and beyond what your job responsibility is. Because Mrs. So and So doesn't have shoes and she needs a winter coat, mm-hmm, and she's got a doctor's appointment and on and on and on, that really is not connected to the home support that we're providing.
Right.
So our goal is to maintain people at home. We really need case managers to be handling this. We have a small outreach in our seniors department, but they can't take it on, all of it. And then the health units in the community are inundated and really don't get involved with these small details.
Yep.
So what is involved in home support?
Hold on, Stacey. Debbie, did you want to respond to what Elaine was saying and then we'll ask the questions?
Just like Marissa and I are nodding at the same time. We're in very much the same boat. I mean, we have home care clients. So many of their children are out of town. An issue comes up where they go in the hospital and they come back out and they have a home health agency in the house. They have a home care agency in the house. The kid lives in Boston and the mom's in Cincinnati. And we end up becoming the de facto case manager because we're in there the most.
Right.
You know, home health pops in for an hour or two every couple of days. We're in there maybe 12 hours a day or 24/7 even.
Right.
And we also, much like Marissa, we also have a CareLink company in our JFS, but we are struggling to get people to pay for the care management because they feel like, well, we're handling it for them.
Yeah.
Why should they pay for a case manager? But it becomes above our scope. And once they're in the hospital, are they no longer our responsibility? And so we're in very much the same boat.
Has anyone who's experiencing this considered adding it on as like a supplemental service that you pay for? Like in our case, they wouldn't let us do that. Like it would be counterproductive to JFS's CareLink program to offer it through JFS at home, to offer it through the home care agency. The whole point is that they have CareLink and we don't have lower cost fees. The fee at JFS, the CareLink program at JFS does not offer like a lower fee for geriatric case management. It's $125 an hour.
Wow, okay.
Well, this is Cindy. So we have a very different
scenario. We too, our private duty agency is a separate nonprofit from the Jewish Social Service Agency. But having said that, we work very collaboratively with Jess's senior services on this matter, and there are lots of grants out there for care coordination. So, I mean, we've been pretty successful in getting some funding for the low-income folks to be able to receive care management.
Has that been federal or state?
I want to say both.
Okay.
Well, Cindy, you better start sharing those resources.
Right. Well, I mean, I think we do have clients that, you know, have the resources to pay for care management, but when they don't, we either subsidize that fee or we have grants that can cover it.
Okay.
Because our philosophy is once you're our patient, you're our patient. And whether it's in hospice or care, senior services or premier home care, it doesn't matter. Once you're our client, you're our client. And so we figure out how to make it work.
Okay, that's wonderful. So the grant writer, grant coordinator at JESSA has researched and written grants and proposals and gotten funding for subsidized care coordination. And you
yes, usually it's the department that's taking the lead on writing the grants because they're the ones with the expertise. They know what they need. It's not sending it back to the grants office. We get it back to the grants office once we've gotten the written piece to a place we feel good about, and then they'll put a little bit of polish on it. But we've already taken care of the meat of the grant.
Right. Okay. So that's really interesting. So you could imagine, Cindy, imagine if all that didn't exist.
If it didn't exist?
Right. Imagine if that funding didn't exist.
That's what Debbie and Elaine and Marissa are talking about.
Imagine if that funding didn't exist. Right. And you have those clients and those patients, like you said, once they're yours, they're yours. The funding didn't exist to subsidize those who couldn't afford it. You'd have those lucky ones who afford it. And then you'd have your pool of patients who really need it but can't afford it, and you can't give it to them. And so your staff at the home at Premier Home Care have to somehow compensate.
Sure, but just to be clear, I mean, I launched this agency 22 years ago, and this was not always the case.
Right.
We had to do without for a long time, but I think the reason that there is that we're seeing more availability of grants for care collaboration is because of everything that's going on with the hospitals and the need to ensure that people go into the hospitals and they come home and they stay home and they don't go back into the hospital. And that requires care coordination,
right,
or care management, however you, yeah.
Do you have, this is Lisa from the network, do you have like a template grant that you could share with this little affinity group? We'll put it on the, you know, in the resource file, you know, just like some of the basic language that you use. Instead of everyone recreating the wheel, they'd have to tailor it to their own communities. But that's probably a good idea because it doesn't seem like that many of those on this call at this moment have really gotten money from, you know,
I can try to put something together for you. I mean, I would also, I just thought about something else. Oh, I would also, in some markets, the hospitals are also funding a percentage of care management in outside businesses, outside home care agencies, because they need to keep their readmissions low. So I think, I don't know what is going on in your market, but there are hospitals that are willing to pay outside agencies to provide that care coordination so that they don't get these return admissions.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Our JFS was in conversations with our local regional hospital to get in on that, and for some reason it didn't work out.
And in our city, the largest healthcare plan hired their own case managers, and then they subcontract to us to fulfill the need, but they have their own case managers who work with the physicians and say, this person needs to get to the doctor and pick up their prescription.
Well, that's good. At least those clients have case managers.
Right.
So what about what's happening in Edmonton or Gulf Coast or Southern New Jersey, Cleveland, Louisville?
Tatiana from Edmonton. So we have, so at the Jewish Family Services, we have our own home support department. So most of the clients, the Holocaust survivors and their services are paid through claims conference. But we do have probably about 30 clients a year, not an ongoing basis, but let's say like right now only 6 private clients. And we are looking for possibility to expand private home care services. So we do face kind of the same problem in terms of how to squeeze all that care management into a very limited fee that we receive for providing home care. We sort of recently just got into partnership, sort of the home provincial home care developed a program that is called invoicing. So they subcontracting agencies that are outside of their mainstream list. Let's say they used to have like a few agencies that they used to work with. Now they expanded it. We changed our insurance. We a little bit increased the insurance. That was the, one of the conditions. And now we are paid, well, not us directly, but the clients can receive from the provincial health care, they can receive $30 an hour for home care services, and those clients hire us. Unfortunately, $30, it's not enough to cover 1 hour of our services. We calculated our actual cost is about $40.
That's it?
Yeah, that's
it. All right, that's it.
So we include the salary and the benefits for the workers and coordination of the care. So we are looking for ways. I mean, if we break even, it's fine, but we want to make some profit to invest into the development of other programs. So potentially we want to see where we can find more money to subsidize this. Right now, our home care coordinators work very close with the outreach worker from seniors making age-related transition department. So this is where the amalgam of case management and care coordination happens. Again, it's like it's a lot of time that we spend on doing so, but at least we have only 6 clients right now.
Right.
So, yeah, but if it grows, and again, I mean, even 6 clients is still, we sort of not earning anything, they're even losing money. So yes. We have to find our own internal resources. But the model is, it's always the care coordinators are in touch, in a very close touch with outreach worker from seniors program. So this is, a bit, because yes, I agree, the cases are extremely complex. It doesn't fall only under care coordination. The case management is huge.
Right.
So what happens if you have 500 clients like we do in our program, and we don't have enough outreach counselors in the seniors department to deal with that?
Yeah, I cannot even imagine, yeah, like for that number of people, of the clients, how you can do so. You either really stretch yourselves to the point that you really burn out, or maybe you can just collaborate with another nonprofit organization, not necessarily even Jewish organization, to do the case management.
Right, like so part of the conversation is that part of it is that we want so much to provide everything that the client needs, yeah, even if it's outside the scope of what actually they've contracted with us to provide them. So being that our hearts are big and that we care, that's some of where the problem is, because in reality, there are things that if we don't take care of it, either they won't get taken care of, and the person will not have everything that they need in life. They'll miss an appointment, or something's not coordinated, and their life doesn't make a lot of sense because the children are not doing their part or whatever. We're not so big yet that that's happening, but like what you said, 500, yeah, for sure, that would be a problem. They wouldn't get the quality that they get with us now unless we come up with a solution.
Are you making money? Is your agency turning a profit?
Me?
Yes.
Ours? Yes, very much so.
Right. And Elaine and Sylvie, is yours turning a profit?
We're a nonprofit organization.
Right. No, we are a nonprofit.
They are nonprofit
also, but we have surplus revenue at the end of the year that we donate to JFS.
Yeah. So similar. We're similar, but less. Mm-hmm. Less now because the government introduced a health benefit tax, and now we have to absorb that. So most of our profit is going into that.
Wow. So what about anyone else? Does anyone have solutions that we haven't heard from or thoughts about this? Like I know, Israela, you just got off the video, but you might still be there. What happens in Stamford? Oh, I can't hear you. Is that, you're
here
muted?
Go. Here we go. Did it. No, there was just a fire literally outside my room. So firemen out there got distracted, wanted to turn you off. What's going on here? Well, Stamford certainly isn't aiming at the hospital. The big, new, beautiful hospital isn't working with anybody in particular. In fact, they could probably use their own care management services. It's terrible the way they still discharge people with any follow-up or coordination of services. It's horrible, the stories that I hear. I have to say that what's nice about here in Stamford is, and even Lower Fairfield County, is all the agencies, we all work very nicely together, and we kind of care management together. I refer to them, they refer to me. And sadly enough, I think if families aren't available, the aides themselves are the ones who are being the care managers for their client. They're the ones doing the follow-up doctor's appointments. Did they get their blood work? Are they taking their medication? Did they get to the beauty parlor? It's the aides who really end up doing the care management. Here at JFS, certainly doesn't fall into my basket. And we do have case management for emergency assistance, but that's not something that they handle ongoing continuously. It's like there's a problem and it's done, everybody moves on. But it's not anything that I think you all would consider regular case management.
Right. Okay. But you're not feeling overwhelmed is what I'm hearing.
Obviously there are going to be things that fall through the cracks, and unfortunately it's going to be the seniors that are going to suffer for not getting a follow-up. But oftentimes it's a matter of a family picking my brain. Where should I go for this doctor? I go, try this one because I know it worked for that client. But it's nothing that we're formally doing. It's only on an as-needed basis.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you. I muted a lot of people because we heard some outside noise. But, feel free to unmute yourselves, or I can. I don't know, Christine, if you have anything to say, or Linda, or about this.
I do. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I kind of agree with Israela. This is what we do here on our side. We don't have that many. I think it's about 150 homemaking clients that don't have a case manager. And our aides play a case manager role, pretty much. They, you know, and my program coordinator, the one that runs the program, sometimes me. So it's kind of between all of us. So the rest of our clients, the majority, they're being case managed, and we just pick up the, you know, we're being a vendor. Listen, it'll be awesome if we can have a case management component. But for us at this point in Florida and Clearwater, we have other bigger issues. So,
again, what?
Transportation, affordable housing. So any grants that come through, you know, we actually try to apply for those, because if you don't have a house, you don't get services, or, you know what I mean? And again, I think our aides do a fine job. They've been with us, a lot of them been with us for a long time. So, and if they don't know, they reach out to the supervisor.
Right.
That's kind of what it is. But in that program where we don't have case management clients, it's kind of those are people that can really live home independently that need just a little bit of help. So it's not a lot that we have to do for them case management wise, but we do. We have several people that we have to hold their hands and take care of things.
Right. It's amazing how one client can really
Yeah.
your whole day, right? Yes. You know, there's much that you can do for them.
But I mean, I'd be interested if, you know, anybody can come up with ideas or have good suggestions on, you know, where to go for help there. That'd be awesome.
Of course.
Yeah. So I don't know, Nada or Megan or Linda, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, it's Linda. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm fortunate. I feel sorry for the challenges that you're going through, because I'm fortunate enough to be a small home care department within a social service agency. So we have a number of social workers and one full-time nurse, and we have, so everybody gets an assessment. Our fee is $300 to $350, but that covers you pretty much for life. And we have a number of support systems that also play into that assessment fee. We have social workers, nurses, counseling. We collaborate with other agencies. We have a family assistance program. We have a kosher meal and wheel program. We have a congregate program with the state of New Jersey that there is a sliding fee or no fee at all for congregate clients. That program, the state supplements their home care and or housekeeping, so I'm helped. That's very helpful as well. They pay just a small portion according to their financials. So I can't say that we have a problem. I can say that when I interview somebody for a home care position for an aide or a housekeeper or a driver companion, I say to them that we take on clients in, my analogy is 360 degrees. We follow them full circle. Once they have that assessment fee or pay no assessment fee, we have so many things in place that we follow them. We can, it might, my people, my staff will call me if there's no mop or if there aren't any cleaning supplies, or you get the idea. Their refrigerators are checked. Not everything is perfect. Not everybody is perfect at it, but we check the trash. We, again, 360 degrees. We try to make sure that we've got an eyeball in there as much as we can, as often as we can.
How many clients do you have?
Well, I have about 200 now. It was before that, it was more, of course, our survivor population. It started with the survivor population. Our survivor population is, you know, every year is being reduced, but we've branched out into the community. And basically,
it sounds like you have a good system.
We do, but you know, it's, and I will say again that myself and my clients and my staff are fortunate that we are a department of a social service agency, which makes us different. I am not, this is not a home care agency. It's a home care department within a social service agency. So all of those challenges that you're having, We don't, because we have these supports in place. We also have patient partners. There is an extra fee for that, but it's very small because we're a nonprofit too. And I would say you asked if they were making a profit. We don't. We break even or we lose a little money. But as a matter of fact, in the past year, we probably lost, you know, we've had a loss, but it's within the mission of the agency to continue this to go on.
What is a patient partner?
Patient partner is assigning a retired nurse or somebody else that wants to volunteer. That's another thing. We have 750 volunteers, which help us.
That's a great idea.
Right. Patient partners is assigning a nurse or an appropriate volunteer to a client to go to the doctor with them. And I have we have one nurse that only deals with patient partners. She assigns the volunteer. She follows each client in terms of medications, what doctors they're going to. And now that information goes to the nurse in the home care department as well, and to me as home care coordinator, as well as the social worker. So now you get a feel for why I say it's all encompassing, because all of that information is given to everybody. Yeah, but the best thing I can say is if you can afford a social worker to hire, you know, hire one as a care coordinator, that's probably your best bet in terms of the challenges. But I did want to ask if there is any information about care coordination grants. We have a population in our, you know, in our congregate buildings, in our Jewish Federation housing that can't afford the care coordination, and often that we do that gratis. But if we were to, we have a great grant writer, if we were able to have that information, that might help for those people and then help us, because we you know, we don't recognize that income. Care coordination for our survivors.
Linda, you've said a lot of fabulous information.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone was going to respond to that. Stacy, okay. Was that you?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Linda, you said 200 clients.
Mm-hmm.
How do the clients come to you?
They're usually referred from, now we're part of the Jewish Federation, which is huge in Cherry Hill. So they're referred through the community. They're referred from doctors, referred from other clients. We also have another home care agency called Aleph. My agency department is very small and we are limited in what we can do. So the other point I wanted to make was we refer a lot to our other agency, Aleph, which will pick up. They do the 24/7. In addition to that, we will refer to other agencies. We never assume that we can do it all. We just have a certain select amount of agencies that we work with that we refer to.
I have a question for Linda as well, just might be a tiny bit off topic, but how do you deal with, is there any liability in terms of volunteers knowing protected health information about their clients?
All clients sign an ROI.
Okay.
For everything we do, whether it's a kosher meal on wheel delivery by a volunteer, a patient partner, a driver volunteer. We have a veterans program. We drive vets. Everybody, all those clients sign ROIs so that any pertinent information is given to the volunteer, and of course the volunteers sign off that they understand it's HIPAA protected, and that's part of our risk management.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I like that idea of a patient, whatever you said, patient.
Patient partners,
patient
yeah.
Partner.
And it's all volunteer driven, so. Almost, you know, our drive, our vets program, our patient partners, our kosher meals on wheels, our family assistance deliveries, you know, food deliveries, it's all volunteer driven. We're very fortunate to live in a community where people want to be involved. It's a very giving community.
Right. But I was saying, like, you know, having a retired nurse, you know, mm-hmm. who was invested and interested in working with you, I mean, that would be ideal. You know, at the clinical services, professionals affinity group, we had a whole thing on psychiatry and how, you know, it's really important to bring psychiatrists into your agency, but a lot of people can't afford it, this, that, and the other. And one of the agencies or a few of them said how they have retired psychiatrists who really provide all of their work, and it's fantastic, and you know, it helps the clients and it helps the agency, so it might make sense for this too.
But what kind of liability do the volunteers have when they're making recommendations?
They have to be certified still. They have to have kept up their, you know, certification and licensure, whatever it is. So if this woman's a nurse and she's retired, she still has to be licensed by the state of New Jersey, let's say, if that's what Linda's doing. So you have to make sure they're licensed. And then they're just on your regular insurance, right? You add people to your insurance. And they also have to carry their own insurance, just like any contractor does, right? And oftentimes volunteers, at least is what they said with the psychiatrist group, that they do it because they want to be involved. They want to continue to help. So I don't know. I think it's a good idea. I don't know if you can do it, but I think it's a good idea.
Having so many volunteers, doesn't it require to have a volunteer coordinator?
We have one. Yes, we have one.
Okay, so then it's either we have a choice either to hire a case manager full-time or a volunteer coordinator. Sort of, yeah. But it's a full-time position.
Elaine and Philby have two or three nurses. That could really help out a lot. I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, I think. Because not everyone has a crisis every single moment, or maybe they do. I don't know. You have 500 clients. But.
And volunteer coordinator, they can take care of other volunteers throughout the agency, not just for the home care piece, you know?
Right. We have the vets program is, I mean, it all falls under one volunteer director, but there are coordinators for the veterans rides. There's a coordinator for the kosher meal on wheels delivery. And I help out with that too. Of course, you know, we each have three or four little projects that we do in addition to our regular jobs. So.
Right. Megan, do you have anything to add from Louisville or Nata from Cleveland? Do you want to share anything with us? Can you hear us? Can you talk? I don't know if you're ability. If you can't, you can write in the chat box too. We can always read that. Do I have to unmute you? I just did. I unmuted you if I muted you. Sorry. Either anyone want to talk?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I had you muted, Megan. Sorry.
This is Megan from Louisville. We also are part of a bigger full service nonprofit organization. So we do have social workers on staff. We have a nurse practitioner on staff one day a week. But we still wish we had just case managers because we do come into that. Because our social workers are generally mental health counselors is what they do. They do a little bit of the case management, but don't have, unfortunately, the time to do as much of it as it seems like we could use.
Yeah. So do you see any, you know, way out? Do you have any ideas or?
Right now, it seems like you all said, I'm doing it. So that's where we are, just doing too much, it seems like, right now. So no, unless I can get a case manager here, I unfortunately don't see an out for me.
All right, can I just ask a question? So Megan, if you have a complex situation with a client in home care, are you and the social worker in the social services organization has availability, you're able to just ask that social worker to step in and help out with that client?
Yes, and a lot of our clients, we only have about 50 home care clients. So a lot of our clients are actually also...
They're already, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're part of our bigger picture.
That's a very important point because since we're a separate entity, and at this point as we're growing, we started out with many individuals who had some sort of service through JFS and a companion or an aide eventually. But now the majority of our clients are only getting home care through us and not another service through JFS.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that certainly makes it more complicated.
Yeah.
I'm curious also how many people have referral agencies or referral lines in their communities. We get a lot of so Cincinnati has AgeWell Cincinnati, which is our Jewish referral source. I know some other cities have it. Does anybody else get their referrals from a specific source like that?
I guess not.
Yeah, for our state-funded clients, I guess. And actually, not just for the state-funded. Yeah, we get referrals throughout the community. It doesn't just have to be a Jewish client. We serve anybody, you know, as long as they meet criteria. But like the senior centers, we get a lot of referrals from there. The local governments, a lot of those offices refer to us. They know us. So.
But do you have, are your fees like a low cost home care, or are you do you have competitive rates to other home care agencies?
We have competitive rates. Our rates are pretty much in line with everybody else, but what works for us, we don't charge extra for nights or weekends or holidays.
We
don't have a minimum of hours. If they need us for an hour, we'll go for an hour.
How do you staff that?
How do you get people to do that?
We don't have a lot of clients, but if we need to go for an hour, we do. And that's what we found, that it seems to work better, and we get more clients this way.
So what do you pay caregiver more for doing that? You have caregivers that are willing to go for their regular hourly rate?
For an hour, yes. But, I mean, most of our caregivers are full-time caregivers, so they go from one client to the other.
Okay, that's different.
We still have part-timers, but recently it's been about a year where we've done some reviews and figured out that it's better. It might cost us more to have full-time versus part-time, but for retention, and for quality of staff, that seemed to work. Knock on wood, we have super low turnover since we've made them full time.
Christina, does that mean that you're paying them for 40 hours, whether or not they actually work 40 hours?
They still have a timesheet. They have to work at least 32 to be able to consider it full time. So if for some reason a client goes in the hospital or something, if they don't have a client and we can't cover, then they do trainings.
So you still only pay them for the hours they actually are working?
We pay them for the hours they actually work, but they still need to do at least 32. But we do have a lot of clients and referrals.
Keep them busy.
Christina, you don't charge extra for holidays, you said, either?
Nope. It's a one rate.
And for your caregivers,
the full-time people, they do get a holiday rate. Yes, it's time and a half. But usually for the holidays, we try to put the people that are part-time.
What are trade-ins? You said something about that. Does everyone know what that is?
Trainings.
Yeah. Training. So when they training. Only work 20...
If a client is in the hospital or something, so she needs 4 hours, if she can't pick, if caregiver cannot pick up a shift, then come to the office and do the trainings.
I understand. Okay.
There's a lot of them required. So it seems like, especially with our agency, not so much with, funders, but the agency requires a lot. Or they help out around the office.
Interesting.
Question for Christina.
Yeah.
Now it went out of my head. Do you find that your return rate on, if you just allow that 1 hour, do you see a good pickup rate in terms of then they call you again for 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours?
Yes, and that's how it's been. We've been doing this. This is actually, this has been in place before I took over, which I took over in 2013. So. It's been before flat rate, the same, doesn't matter nights or weekends, and no minimum. And we have found that a minimum really kills agencies. So if they institute 4 hour minimum or 2 hour, a lot of clients, I mean, they can handle two, but 4 hour minimum is pretty much impossible. Yeah. So we find that a lot of the kids from up north, they arrange for services and they pay, so not even the client. But yeah, the rate of return is so much better if we don't institute the minimum, at least in our community here. So
we have a 2 hour minimum, where most of the other private agencies have a 4 hour minimum. Yeah. So I understand the minimum, but I think for the sake of the aide who has to leave their home and get to the seniors' home and do something. It's got to be worth their while. So for the aid's sake, we make it a 2-hour minimum.
Right. I understand. But we do, I mean, our aides, because they are like considered field employees, we actually pay them. We start paying them from their home to the client.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So hold on, Christina. It's a 1-hour minimum in the house, but you pay them a half an hour to get there, half an hour to get back, so they get paid 2 hours.
And usually what we do to minimize that, that we pay for the windshield time, we have aides in specific areas. And we have backups in those areas. That's how it's kind of been set up. So this 1-8 kind of covers maybe, you know, 10-mile radius type of thing. So, I mean, occasionally, yeah, we have to have an aid drive from one place, you know, one side of the county to the other, but it's very rare. So that helped us. So, I mean, the travel time in between clients is no more than 10 minutes. No more. They all about the same area.
Does anyone else pay?
We have 1-hour bath service too, but we charge more for it.
Yeah. What do you charge?
$20 an hour as opposed to $18 an hour. Our rates are very low, you know. But yeah, we'll do the 1 hour and then they'll go on from there. You know, a lot of those 1 hours are in the Federation housing, so I can have them go from one to the next.
Yeah. So
they don't have to drive a lot for the 1 hour shower. So for us, it works.
Yeah. And that's what we have a couple of apartment complexes that we've contracted with, and that's what the aid will go from one to the other.
It's a great idea.
But I don't know. I mean, again, this has worked for us. We've reviewed it. We kind of look at it every couple of years to make sure it's still the case. Things are working out so far. It's been it's something that makes us stand up with the other, among other agencies. So stand out, not stand up.
Stand up and stand out.
Yeah.
Stacy, did you want to say something?
I think this is fascinating because our JFCS doesn't have any sort of home care component. So I'm listening to this and I think it's fascinating because I'm the one as a care manager that coordinates all the services with independent agencies. So this is, and I'm the one that does, whether it's the food ordering or the shopping or the following up on the doctor's appointments or make, you know, all of that, coordinating with the family as a liaison with the children that don't live nearby and all of that. But I think it's fascinating and I did not know that there were agencies out there that have all of this in-house.
Right. That's what this group is, really. You know, all the administrators of the programs
that are
in-house.
And, you know, how you partner with it. For me, this is just exclusive education.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, Marissa, I didn't know if we wanted to spend the last 5 minutes, if we wanted to try to brainstorm again what people may be interested in.
I would love to hear that because, yeah, this was all up to me. And actually, if you can see on the video, this is Natasha Streamer. She hasn't been on before. She's our co-administrator here at JFS at Home. And this was her idea, luckily, because we were down to the wire on what to talk about today. And obviously, this is a very good, important topic. So thank you. And yeah, I'd love to hear what people want to discuss. Anyone?
I mean, I don't know if I know we started off with this, but any information about the Medicare, I know that applies more to the US folks and not so much to the Canadian folks, but if it really is, you know, the commercials are rampant here because it's open enrollment season, that your Medicare is going to provide funding for transportation and home health, it would be super helpful to have a conversation about how we're all handling that, if there are billing issues around it, if there, whatever the issues are as we get into 2020, I think that would be super helpful for us, because I know, like I said, I was just discussing it with my boss at lunch. So
I'm going to try again the person who I heard speak at the conference I went to, because that's the only person I know that knows anything about it. But I will also share the PowerPoint from that day.
If you send it to me, we'll put it onto the...
I'm going to try. Well. I think I have it. I'm going to look for it.
So any other thoughts? That you can always email me, right?
I wanted to put it out there. I don't know how many agencies have just a homemaker companion piece, and how many have the, you know, the personal care piece as well. And if there are any, you know, that... Well, I guess what's the difference? Are there benefits to have, you know, full-on, hands-on kind of service versus just homemaker and companion?
Well, sure. Just since we do have a few minutes, right? Lisa, I could answer the question briefly. Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I can tell. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Jewish Family Services here in Boca originally had a homemaker companion program within the social services agency. In the strategic planning process, they decided to go for a licensure for a home health agency because of the very reason that the clients that would start out as companion clients, obviously their needs would increase over time, and then they would need to be referred out. So the thought process was like the 360 degrees. We want to take care of the whole person from the moment they become a client of ours until the end. So that is a great way to keep the continuity of services, and that's the reason. So the clients that start out as companion clients eventually will become either a combination of companion and hands-on home health, or move over just to home care. It's all still within the license for home care.
Well, I guess my concern is more so the monetary, you know, because you need to hire a nurse, you need to have a nurse on staff, like how does it fare?
Yeah.
Do you still, do you get enough business to cover all of those expenses?
Well, our nurse,
I don't think that we can answer that question.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's a really important question. You could either talk privately. Elaine and Sylvie were also talking. I mean, maybe that is something to really talk about, the pros and cons and what it takes to begin that kind of a service, because Stacy, I know you're just doing something, but you know, it's something you can take back to your executive director and say, look, this is what we discussed and what
about
doing this. Right. But the laws are different in every state. In Ohio, we don't need a nurse to manage. So,
interesting.
You know, it really depends on your state and what the requirements are.
That's true.
Last year at the conference, Lisa, that's what I presented on, so we could find my presentation.
Mm-hmm. How to open a licensed home
health agency was my thing.
So maybe we can do that.
Yeah.
You could do that. Yeah. Okay. So
Natasha brought up a suggested topic, risk and liability. That's a big thing that has come to the forefront for us recently. You know, there's a lot of exposure, risk, and liability involved in this industry. We're facing it here, and so that is definitely an important topic to discuss. And Christina, especially when you move from companion to the hands-on, it increases tremendously in terms of the liability insurance you have to carry. If your caregivers are employees as opposed to contractors, then the workers' comp component and just all of that, and lawsuits and injuries.
Does that sound like something that we want to talk about?
I just went to a seminar yesterday on that, so it's definitely a relevant topic.
Yeah, definitely.
Does that sound good? Tatiana, Linda, we all set? Should we try that? Okay. I see them nodding. Great. Stacy, I can't see you guys. Get cameras if you can. Cindy, don't you have a camera? Did I mute you? Anyway, Cindy, don't you have a camera? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. We can talk later. Do you have a camera?
No, you were going to send it to me.
You should still be getting it. I think you're one of the last ones. Our $10,000 ran out. And I haven't gotten a hold of our funder. You should be getting it, Cindy, because I thought we had sent it to you. But Stacy and Megan,
I'll keep an eye out for it.
Okay, and I'll find out. they're only like, $25 if you want to, you know, it's good to get, I think. It's nice to have cameras, right? So
yeah.
If we get more money, I'll make sure that people who don't have cameras get them. But in the meantime, we don't have any more. Okay.
Also, if I can really quickly, I don't want anybody to think that I was trying to say that this is easy. It's not. This is the toughest business I've ever been in. And I know that. So we've been fortunate to be able to come together as a broader agency and make some of this stuff happen. But I don't want anybody to think that I think it's easy.
And I think that it'd be great if you can send me whatever information you have, little snippets, so that I can put it on our affinity group so people can look at it to tailor it to their own communities.
Sure.
Terrific.
Sure.
Well, it was a great meeting, you guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Next, Marissa, do you know?
Thank you.
The next one, I don't know by heart.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. I don't have it. People are leaving.
January 16th.
When? February 16th?
January 16th.
January 16th.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now.